As you know, there are only two books in the Bible which bear as their title the name of a woman. One, of course, is the book of Ruth. Ruth was a Gentile. And the other, of course, is the book of Esther. And Esther, as we know, was a Jew. In both of these books, the theme is basically the same. That is, God's providence and provision. And what stands out so clearly in both of these books is the sovereignty of God. And God is faithful. God is loving. God oversees and God cares for His people. Coming to the book of Ruth, we see that it consists of only 85 verses, so it's a very short book. Yet it is one of the most moving accounts in all the Word of God, and it is an inexhaustible book. The book of Ruth probably covers a period of 10 to 12 years. Chapter 1 covers a period of 10 years. We know that from chapter 1, verse 4. They were 10 years in Moab. So we have 10 years in the first chapter. Chapter 2 covers several months, beginning there with the close of chapter 1. We see it was the beginning of barley harvest. And then coming to the end of chapter 2, verse 23, it's the end of barley harvest. So you have several months there as well. Chapter 3 speaks of a day and a night. And in chapter 4, you have a wedding and you have the birth of a son. So I believe we can say that the book covers probably 11 to 12 years. From chapter 1 and verse 1, we learn that the book records events that happened in the time of the judges, the book of Judges. We read there in chapter 1 and verse 1 that there was a famine in the land. And as you read through the book of Judges, there is no record of a famine, that is, during the judges. So we do not know the exact time frame of the book, but suffice it to say that the events of Ruth are recorded simply during the rule of the judges, which of course was a time of great spiritual decline from the book of Joshua. And it was a period of time marked by a departure from the Lord. It was a time of great waywardness. It's a time of faithlessness, time of great permissiveness. This period of Israel's history is just generally a desert of rebellion and immorality. These were the dark ages of Israel's history. And so we come to the book of Ruth, and it is set in the distressing context of the book of Judges. And it is a story of love, devotion, and redemption. We like to look at chapter 2, one of my favorite portions of Scripture. We've preached from this many times. We'll not read the entire chapter. We will refer to it, but for time's sake, let's look at the first three verses and then verses 15 through 19. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, that is, it just so happened, that's humanly speaking, was to light or land on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And then in verses 15 through 19, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and was about an epah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. When we come to chapter 2, the two main characters, and they become the two main characters throughout the remainder of the book, are Ruth, which I believe is a type of the Lord's church, a type of the bride of Christ, but we can identify with her individually as well. And then you have Boaz, who is, of course, a type of Christ. But beginning with chapter 2, Ruth's life is now shaped by Boaz. In the context, again, of the period of Judges, Ruth is blessed with wonderful possibilities, privilege, and opportunity. And it's all because of Boaz. In chapter 2, we have the account of a day in the life of Ruth. We see in, but this, again, it's an account of one particular day, but it continued for months. It's something she did for months. Because again, we see in chapter 1, verse 22, it's the beginning of barley harvest. And verse 23 of our text, we see it's the end of barley harvest. So in chapter 2, we see Ruth. She's a stranger. She's a stranger in the land. She's gleaning in the field of Boaz. And as such, she is an example to you and I. She is an example of abundant living, even in the midst of distress. She is an example to ourselves how we ought to live our daily lives. So I want to speak this evening on the daily gathering of what God has for us. And that's what we see Ruth doing. She is gathering. She is gathering what Boaz had for her. So, in the midst of the context of the distress of the period of Judges, there is Boaz. There is Boaz. In verse 1 we read of chapter 1, we read that he was a mighty man of wealth. So the chapter opens, chapter 2, verse 1 opens with our attention being drawn to a man. This man is powerful. He's very influential. He's a man of prosperity. He's a man of great substance. He no doubt has many treasures. He no doubt has many possessions. He's a man of great resource. He's a man of great abundance. He was a mighty man of wealth. And then we are told that his name was Boaz. That name means in him is strength. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 7, we see that the left pillar of the temple was named Boaz. Again, remember the meaning of that name. In him is strength. 1 Kings 7, verse 21, and he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple, and he set up the right pillar, and called the name thereof Jachin. And he set up the left pillar, and called the name thereof Boaz. He's a pillar. He's a pillar of strength. Jesus Christ is our Boaz. He excels all. He is more magnificent. He is superior to all. You take anything you like, any problem, any trial, any infirmity, any condition, and Boaz, our Boaz, Jesus Christ, is greater. Goes beyond whatever it is that you can think of. Again, it is said of Boaz that he was a mighty man of wealth. Jesus Christ, again, is our Boaz. And we read in Ephesians 3 and verse 8 of the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And in Colossians 1 and verse 19, we read, for it pleased the Father for that in him should all fullness dwell. So in Christ, there is treasure. There are resources. There is abundance. There is plenty. We live in a wasteland. We live in a land that is filled with devastation, barrenness, emptiness, desolation. But we have all fullness in Christ Jesus. That is, everything we can possibly need is in Christ. That's where it is. Everything we can possibly need today, everything that we can possibly need tomorrow, is in Christ. It's all fullness. That is, it's more than enough in Christ. More than enough for every season. You think of all the seasons that we pass through in our life, seasons of trials and difficulty, and on we can go. But in all seasons, all fullness dwells in Jesus Christ. This world is defiling in nature. This world has a draining effect upon us. But in Christ, our Boaz, there is treasure, there is abundance, there is plenty. In Christ is the life that you and I need, the strength we need, the comfort we need, the peace we need, the assurance that we need. He has everything that will satisfy us, encourage us, and even rejuvenate us. Jesus Christ is our Boaz. And Jesus Christ, of course, is greater than Boaz that we read here in Ruth chapter 2. Now we also see here in chapter 2 that not only is there this man Boaz, but Boaz had a field. He had a field. Notice in verse 3, she lighted on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Boaz had a piece of property. Boaz had a field. In other words, there was a place where you would expect to find Boaz. There was a place where you could meet Boaz. Boaz had a field. Notice verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. So he's in his field. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. So Boaz has a field. And now we see in that field, in that special place, there was the presence of Boaz. He has a field. That field is a special place. And in that place, there is the presence of Boaz. So here we are, like Ruth, living in a time of wretchedness, living in a time of evil and woe. But there are places, there are special places where we can expect to meet Boaz. God has given us places where we are very likely to meet Boaz. His church is one of those places. His word is another. Our place of prayer is another. So here we are in a time of woe, but there are places where we can expect to meet our Boaz. Seems to me that if we have any interest at all in Boaz, that we're going to want to be in one that place where we can meet him. In this field, and because of Boaz, there was an opportunity for Ruth to glean ears of corn. Notice in verse 3, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field belonging unto Boaz." So that there was a field means that Ruth had an opportunity to go to that field. And she had an opportunity to glean in that field. That is, she had an opportunity to gather what was in that field. She had an opportunity to obtain and to get what was in that field. Again, Boaz has a field. We need to be in that field. And that gives us the opportunity to gather. Every time we open this book, we have an opportunity to gather, to obtain, to get whatever it is that Boaz has for us. So she's in the field of Boaz. She's there with the purpose of gathering. She went and she gathered. That was her purpose. She made that known to Naomi. She was going to go and glean. So she is in this field of Boaz with the very purpose of gathering. Of gathering. That's why we ought to come to the house of God. It's why we ought to read His Word. It's why we, one of the reasons that we pray. There's much to gather in these fields. There's much to gather in the house of God. There's much to gather in His Word. There's much to gather in prayer. These are fields of opportunity. These are fields of great privilege. Now, to glean grain or other produce in those days, of course, was part of the Mosaic system. The harvesters or the reapers would walk through the fields, cutting the stalks, binding them into sheaves. And the poor and the strangers were allowed to walk behind the harvesters and gather the stalks that were lying on the ground. These stalks weren't just handed to them. They weren't delivered to their house. They had to walk behind the reapers. And then they had the opportunity of picking up and gathering. Ruth, she is a poor She is poor and she is a stranger. And she's living in the distressing days of the judges. But there is a field of opportunity. There is a field of blessing. It was in that field that Boaz, who had everything that Ruth would ever need, took special notice of Ruth. Showed an interest in Ruth. Notice verse 5. There are many people who are gleaning in this field. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" He noticed Ruth. He took an interest in Ruth. And it was in that field that this occurred. Now, it is amazing that Boaz, a mighty man of wealth, would be interested in a poor, penniless, despised, weak, helpless stranger, such as Ruth. But Boaz was interested in Ruth. And I'm glad that our Boaz is interested in us and takes notice of us. Now, this interest that Boaz had in Ruth provided her with opportunities that others did not have. Jesus Christ is interested in us. Jesus Christ takes notice of us. And that gives us opportunities that others do not have. Our Boaz has a special interest in us. And as amazing as it was that Boaz would have an interest in Ruth, it is even more amazing that Jesus Christ would have any interest at all in you and I. That He would take any notice at all of you and I. But He has a special interest in us. Notice in this field, verse 8, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth," He's drawn near unto her. He has drawn nigh unto Ruth. And He speaks to her. He's not speaking to all those who are gleaning. He draws nigh unto Ruth. And He speaks directly unto her. But notice, He does not speak unto her as a stranger, but as a daughter. "Hearest thou not, my daughter?" My daughter. What a blessing when our Boaz does the same. There we are in the field, and He speaks to us. Now we know the Lord can speak to us anywhere. You can be down the hog pen, and the Lord can speak. We know that. But, that being said, if we get to the field of Boaz, it is there we are more likely for Him to speak to us. This is a very special field. Now notice also in verse 8, Boaz instructs Ruth. He says, "Go not to glean in another field." There were many fields in that day, and there are many fields today. And our Boaz says, don't go to another field. But notice what he says, "But abide here." That is, Ruth, stay right here. What he's saying is, there is no need for you to go elsewhere in search of what you need. Ruth, I have everything you need in this field. There's no need to go anywhere else. And here we are, like Ruth, again living in a time of desolation, a time of peril and adversity and woe. But there is a place where we can have everything that we need. A place where our Boaz is. And we can abide there. We don't have to leave. You never have to leave God. We do, but you don't have to. It's never necessary for you and I to leave the field of Boaz. It's never necessary for the son to leave his father's house. It's not necessary. The Lord instructs us to abide here. It was also in that field, that special place, that Boaz assured Ruth of special protection and provision. Notice verse 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them, that is, the reapers. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? That is, Ruth, you have my protection in my field. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, vessels that he provided, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. So he assures her that in this field she would have protection and she would have provision. Whenever she was thirsty, she could just go to the vessels and take a drink. And when we abide in this special place, we have special protection. We have special provision. Again, we live in a very trying time. But there is a place where we receive assurance from our Boaz. And he says, all is well. You have my protection. You have my provision. And we can abide there. We can abide there. We can stay in that place. Also, it was in that field that Ruth received a special invitation from Boaz. Notice verse 14. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime. Now in this field, in this special place, there are mealtimes. And Boaz invites us to those mealtimes. He says, at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. So it was in this field that she received an invitation from Boaz. And our Boaz, Jesus Christ, is always giving us the invitation to come. To come. And oh, I'm afraid many have missed many a mealtime in the field of Boaz. They've missed many a mealtime because they've been in other fields. And they miss out on the special mealtime in the field of Boaz. These are privileges and our opportunities as children of God. Also was in that field that Boaz provided a special time of refreshment and fellowship. Notice verse 14. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. He passed her corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Our Boaz provides us the table mealtimes every single day. And you notice that Ruth is close to Boaz here. Because she's close enough that he can pass her the corn. Ruth had been gleaning for some time. Notice verse 7. She hath continued even from the morning until now. But now it's meal time. And in verse 15, when the meal was over, and when she was risen up to glean, she arose from that table, she arose from the meal time, and then what did she do? She continued to glean. I believe that she received strength from that meal. She received strength to continue to glean. If you get tired and weary and you feel like you can't glean anymore, you need to go to mealtime and receive some refreshment. Receive some strength. You need to go to those vessels. It's all supplied by Boaz. Oh, what an opportunity that you and I have. It was also in this field that Boaz had special provision specifically for Ruth. And I love verse 15 and 16. Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves. Reproach her not. Do not stop her." And then verse 16. "And let fall." That is, drop it on purpose. "Some of the handfuls of purpose." And then two very important words. "For her." For her. It was in this field that Boaz had something special for Ruth. He instructed the reapers to take the sheaves, purposely drop for her what she needs, purposely drop right in front of her what will benefit her, that which will be good for her, that which will profit her and feed her. He instructs the reapers, let these things fall right where she is so she can gather them. What a blessing. And everything that comes to pass in our lives, I believe that God has something for us. And He drops it on purpose for us to gather. Everything that comes to pass in our lives, God takes notice of us. He makes sure that there are some things dropped on purpose from His own hand for you and I to glean. Dropped on purpose in front of us every day are precious things. Things that will help us. Things that will encourage us and strengthen us and comfort us. Things that will prepare us and instruct us, assure us and reassure us. Things that will cause us to draw near to Him. Things that will bless our souls. And they are dropped on purpose. And they are dropped specifically for you and I to glean, to obtain, to get, to take, and to gather. That is our privilege as God's people. The handfuls on purpose speak of an abundance. They speak of a personal love. They speak of a personal interest that Boaz has in us. Again, handfuls of purpose for her. For her. For me. For you. And then notice what it says. And leave them that she may glean them. He drops it right in front of us. For you and I to gather. And I believe that no matter what a day may bring forth, this is so. No matter what a day may bring forth, I have opportunity to glean from the handfuls of purpose. So in the midst of all this distress, the period of the judges, there is Boaz, and he has a field, and it is a special place. We need to live in those special places. We see also in the midst of all this, there is Ruth. Ruth gleaned in abundance. We read in verse 17, so she gleaned. She obtained, she got, she took, she gathered. What was dropped on purpose, specifically for her. She would stoop and gather straw by straw. Occasionally she might pick up a handful. But as a rule, it was straw by straw. And oh, what the joy that is hers as she gleans in the field of Boaz. Ruth was a very successful gleaner. We read in verse 17 that what she had was about an ephah of barley. That's about 30 pounds. An ephah was 10 omers, according to Exodus 16, verse 36. And according to Exodus 16, verse 16, an omer of manna was adequate for the daily needs of one individual. So what does all that mean? It means that day she gathered 10 times the adequate daily needs of an individual. 10 times. And notice in verse 18 that she had enough to meet not only her own requirements, but she had so much left over she was able to share it with Naomi. In other words, because she was in that special place, the field of Boaz, she became a blessing to someone else. You want to be a blessing to someone else? Spend your days in the fields of Boaz. Because it's there that you will be enabled to be a blessing. We see, want to see some things quickly of what led Ruth, what led to Ruth being a successful gleaner. How can we be a successful gleaner? I believe we have several principles laid out here. First of all, back in chapter 1, I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, but she had left paganism and idolatry. If you're going to glean in the fields of Boaz, you got to leave the fields of paganism. You got to leave the fields of idolatry. You got to leave the barren fields. You got to leave the fields of sin. She left paganism and idolatry. That put her on the road to successful gleaning. Secondly, she was surrendered, chapter 1, committed and dedicated to the Lord. There in chapter 1, she made a declaration to follow God at all cost. She makes a total commitment, even if it meant death. She commits with absolutely no strings attached, with no limitations. She was determined, she was committed, she was focused to go all the way. And if we want to be a successful gleaner, we have to have a commitment to the Lord. A commitment to go all the way. A commitment with no limitations. There must be surrender. There must be commitment to God. Thirdly, she realized that there was gleaning to be done. Hear her say there in verse 2, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn." She knew that there was gleaning to be done. And in verse 7, she went to the one who was over the reapers, and she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she realized that there was gleaning to be done. She realized that there was corn out there to be gleaned, and she wanted it. But not only that, she prayed, "Allow me to glean. Allow me to gather." And that ought to be our prayer every day. Lord, allow me to gather what it is that you have for me. I know you have many things for me this day. And Lord, I desire to have it all. Lord, allow me to glean. Help me to glean. There was a desire to glean. There was a willingness to do whatever was necessary to obtain that corn. And again, that needs to be our determination every single day. Every day, God has specially for me handfuls of that which will be spiritually beneficial to my soul. And I must be willing to glean. I must be willing to gather it. It's not just you lay back and say, "Just pour it on me, Lord." That's not how it works. We must glean. We see also, she realized her need of grace, and she desired grace. In verse 2, she said, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." That was her hope. That I'll get to a field and somebody will be gracious to me because I'm a stranger. Somebody will be gracious enough to me to allow me to glean in the field. So she's aware that she needs grace. This is also stressed in verse 13. "Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord." She's again pleading for grace. We must realize if we're going to be successful gleaners, we need grace. And who is it that realizes that? The humble. Ruth was humble. Also, she put herself in a position to glean. It says in verse 3 that she went and came and gleaned in the field. If you're going to glean, you need to get to the place where gleaning can be done. She knew that. So she went to the field. She didn't go out in the streets. There wasn't corn there. She went out to the fields. She's now arriving at that field. She's now in the position to glean. She's in a place where she can glean. So many times, God's people never get to the place where they can glean what Boaz has for them. Verse 7, "Once again, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." She's in the position. to glean. Also notice that she paid attention. She paid attention to and was aware of what was being dropped in her path. Handfuls of purpose were being dropped in front of her. God is still dropping handfuls of purpose, leaving them in our path that we may glean them. But many times we're oblivious. Our mind's somewhere else. Our eyes are somewhere else. We're unconscious. We're unmindful. We're ignorant. And we're blind to the handfuls of purpose that have been left in our path every single day. And you know what happens when you're not paying attention? You get so busy with other things that you become unaware, not only unaware, but unconcerned with God's handfuls of purpose. And you know what else happens? Not paying attention, you even trample over what is dropped in our path. How many times God drops right in front of us what we need? And because we're oblivious, and because our mind is elsewhere, we just trample all right over it. And then have the audacity to say, I wish God would provide my needs. He dropped it right in front of you. And we didn't see it. Happens all the time. Another reason she was successful is she remained in the field of Boaz. Boaz told her to do that in verse 8 and 9. And she followed that instruction. She remained in that field. She realized there's no need for me to go anywhere else. Also, she had a spirit of worship. In verse 10, we see that she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? It's the one who worships God that is able to glean. Because to worship God, we have to take our proper place before Boaz. And she did that. She had a special communion with Boaz. Verse 14 again, he reached her the parched corn. Now in the Bible, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic, that belongs to Egypt. But the corn belongs to Canaan. You want good food? You got to go where it is. Too many times people are feeding upon the food of Egypt rather than the food in the fields of Boaz. She was close enough, again, for Boaz to reach her, to pass her the corn. Also, she was willing to do whatever was necessary to glean. The reaper said of her in verse 7, She came and hath continued even from morning until now. And I believe they said that in a tone of amazement. In other words, she had endured toil and fatigue. She just kept on gleaning. She continued to stoop for each ear. She continued to gather ear by ear. And while she's gathering, she's keeping in her hand what she already had gleaned. She just kept on. She kept on. Oh, may we view each day as a gleaning day. A day to glean in the fields of Jesus Christ. May we view every circumstance in our life as an opportunity to glean the handfuls of purpose that are just for us. There are many things that happen that we do not know why they happen in our lives. And we may never know why And we don't need to know. Why? But here's something we do need to know. That whatever happens in my life, whatever happens in your life, God has some handfuls of purpose just for us. Just for me. And my concern in all circumstances ought to be, Lord, make it plain. I don't know why this is happening, but make it plain to me what you drop in front of me. And enable me to gather it. And to get it. So many times, people will spend their whole day trying to figure out why something happened. In the meantime, treasures have been dropped right in front of them, but their minds on why it's happened. Instead of stooping down and gleaning what God has for us. Oh, we must be willing to stoop to obtain what God has for us. Have to be willing to stoop. Have to be willing to glean straw by straw. Oh, at first it might just be one straw. And you might think, well, that's nothing. But walk a little further. There's another straw. And another straw. And another straw. And before the day is over, you have 10 times that which would suffice you for a day. Have to be willing to gather straw by straw. And when you gather a straw and you come upon a bunch of straws, don't throw down the one straw you've gathered. Hold on to it. Pick up the rest. That's what Ruth did. At the end of the day, she had about 30 pounds. Oh, that each day would be a day of gleaning from the handfuls of God. It can be. And if it isn't, it's no one's fault but her own. Ruth was a successful gleaner. And she became a blessing and an encouragement to others. And in closing, after she got home, Naomi had seen the abundance that she had gathered. Naomi, in a tone of amazement, said, "Where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou? Where did you work today, Ruth?" We need to ask ourselves the same question every single day. Where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou? And then hear Ruth's answer. The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Now notice what it says there. With whom? She didn't just say the owner of the field was Boaz. She said much more than that. She said the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. What's she saying? She's saying, Naomi, I spent the day with Boaz. I spent the day with a man named Boaz. There's no better way to spend a day than to spend a day with Jesus Christ. And I promise you tonight that if you spend a day with Jesus Christ, the end of that day, you will have more than you'll ever need for that day. More than you can possibly take in. Such an abundance that you can share with others. I spent the day with Boaz. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful way to spend a day. And such leads to an abundance from Boaz. every day, you and I can have an abundance from Boaz. You know, it's mighty strange. Most of God's people say they don't believe in luck, but they believe they have bad luck when it comes to receiving from the Lord. Oh, if things would just turn around. If you would just get in the right field and follow Boaz, you'll glean in abundance. Quit saying, oh, if this just turns around, then I'll be okay. I've got news for you. When that turns around, there'll be something else that needs to be turned around.
Right.
Your problems aren't going to go away. It's not going to happen. But every day, we can glean handfuls. That's a wonderful image. You think of the hands of God. Holds a world in his hand. The oceans are just a drop in the bucket. And he has handfuls that he bestows upon us. We're to glean. We're to glean. What people want today, you know, the welfare mentality carries over spiritually also. Lord, open my mouth, put it on a spoon, put it in my mouth, then move my mouth, help me chew it, and then Lord, help me swallow. We have to glean. We have to glean. Not just sit back and hope that God just rains showers of blessings upon us. We've got to glean. And we have that opportunity every day. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.